pray.
Yes, sir.
Well, if we got to stop at quarter till, we got to start on time, too.
Father, this morning, looking at Psalm 67, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, and that your saving health among all the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, and let all the people praise thee, and let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Wow, govern the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. For then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, will bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear his name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word declares that there's an increase.
Yes.
That all the people praise thee, and there'll be an increase in the earth. And God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall know the Lord and fear the Lord as he rules over the nations. Father, we thank you. That word increase kind of jumped out at me in that psalm. I was thinking about when John said, it's time for me to decrease. And it's time for him to increase. Father, a couple of weeks ago, you spoke to me and you talked to me a lot about change, that we're in a season, a time of change. And as I was thinking about that word change, you spoke right to my heart. You said, son, change is increase. Change is increase. So, Father, our prayer this morning is like John the prophet. Let us decrease, Father.
Yes.
Let us put off the old man. And let us put on the new man. That we might experience that change, and in the process of that change, we experience that increase.
Yes.
The worm didn't know he was a caterpillar. The worm didn't know he was a caterpillar until he started changing. As he climbed up the tree, as he heard the voice that said, come up here, he started going up into a tree, and he started changing. And that's what you're doing in this hour, Father. You're calling your people to come up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only by your grace, Father. All you're asking us to do is give our attention to you. That's the only price we have to pay, Father, is to pay attention. And you'll do the rest, Father. The work's all of grace. Thank you, Lord. It isn't that complicated. As we learn to look to you and praise you, the increase will come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Okay, so last week, I'm going to do a little summary here from last week, because the question was, and I don't know if we actually answered it yet, because we hadn't got into 1 Chronicles 16, so I'm going to kind of do a quick summary, and then we'll get to what's on the piece of paper there. Anyway, in Psalms 96:2, it says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. So there's three directives there. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, and show forth his salvation from day to day. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of honed in on this, show forth his salvation from day to day. And the question that we're going to answer today is, how do we show forth his salvation? Okay, well, first of all, we want to know what that means, what that word show forth means. It means to bear news, to bear tidings, to publish, preach as good news. Okay, so we're asked by the Lord to do this, to bear news, the good news, to be fresh, to be cheerful, to be joyful. So guess what? When you don't feel cheerful, when you don't feel joyful, you better do it anyway. I mean, in Sales 101 back in the late 70s, this guy said, you know what? To be good in sales, you have to be enthusiastic. And guess what that word enthusiastic means? God in you. Well, he wasn't a believer, and he didn't carry it to that point, but I studied into that word, enthusiasm, and it means God in you, okay? But he said, if you want to be enthusiastic, you're not going to wake up every day wanting to be enthusiastic. He said, so, you know, you have to basically fake it until it comes, and it will come. In other words, you have to put a smile on your face when you don't feel like putting a smile on your face. You have to get it, because this is our responsibility to the Lord by showing forth his salvation from day to day. It's a day-to-day thing. It's not one time and then it's gone and whatever. It's a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, second-by-second thing. So
it's walking in the now.
It's walking in the now, and it's basically enjoying, you know, our walk with the Lord. It's enjoying. And if we know what his walk is, then we're going to be more likely to walk it out.
It's also thinking on these things. The scripture says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever we think on these things. And I think as we think on these things, that what the word says, and I still believe it's also a choice.
That's what I'm getting to. Yes. When you wake up in the morning, it is a choice. You're going to be cheerful or grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a smile on your face, or you're going to have a frown. You know, you're going to do this. It's a choice.
Which dwarf are you going to be?
What's that?
Which of the seven dwarfs are you going to be?
There you go. Grumpy, dog, whatever. Okay.
Sleepy.
Sleepy, yeah.
That's me.
First in the morning, you can be sleepy.
Happy.
But sooner or later, you have to, like, before you put your feet to the floor, you have to say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, ice, whatever. Thank you for this beautiful day, and I'm going to show forth your salvation today. Okay, so show forth his salvation means to preach the good news, to be fresh. What do you think it means to be fresh? Today.
Mm-hmm.
The manna wasn't fresh the next day, right? The manna was only fresh for one day unless it was Friday, or what is it, Friday was 2 days, whatever.
Yeah.
Saturday was 2 days, so Saturday and Sunday, the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're not fresh every day, then you're stale. And if you're stale, who wants to be around stale things? They want to be around fresh things. Fresh things, cheerful, joyful. Now, the interesting thing about the word salvation is look at the Hebrew word for salvation. Can you see it up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeshua.
Isn't that neat? Yeshua. I mean, God has this thing so planned out, and everything is so perfect that even the word salvation is Jesus.
Wow.
Even the word salvation is Jesus, Yeshua. That's what they call the name of Jesus, Yeshua. And they still to this day call the name of Jesus, Yeshua. And you just wonder why the blindness has taken over a whole group of people to not see that Jesus is their only salvation. It's just amazing. But what does salvation mean? Have you ever thought about the word salvation? What does salvation mean to you?
Freedom to me.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Yep. There's somebody out there.
Jubilee, everything placed back in order.
Okay. Salvation, what's it mean?
Completeness.
Completeness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One with him.
Deliverance.
That's for sure. Uh-huh. Anybody else?
Glory.
Glory? Salvation in the Strong's is deliverance, welfare, prosperity, and victory. Who doesn't want that? The root is to be saved from moral troubles, to be victorious, and to be liberated. So you all had it. You all nailed it. It's exactly what that word means, plus a lot more. But that's just in summary, that's what it comes down to. Okay, so we talked about 1 Corinthians 16, and we talked about the ark coming in, and David was all excited and put the linen ephod on, and he had a place perfectly set up for that ark to come in to Jerusalem. And we got to the point where he had certain Levites that handpicked with certain Levites to come out and tend to the ark. Okay? And what we're going to learn from this is that we need to tend to the ark too. Okay? And where's the ark? Right. So we need to tend to the ark. And every one of these names, you know, David didn't accidentally pick these people, folks. I mean, God picked these people. Because you look at Asaph is the gatherer. And again, we're not going to go into the detail on each word like we did last week, but, you know, the gatherer, for anybody that wasn't here, you weren't here.
Asaph means the gatherer?
Asaph, yeah. And if you see up here, it says Asaph made a sound with the cymbals. Mm-hmm. So when you're making a sound, that good news, that you know, preaching the good news, whatever, people are going to gather. They're going to listen. Not to religion, right? Not to the religious situation, but they might even respond to that too. But I mean, to the true word of God, to the true word. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers, and we talked last week about that word remember, put back together again. Remember, like the thief on the cross said, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So Jehovah remembers is Zechariah. Jael and Jahiel means God sweeps away. So the things in our life that need to be swept away, when that stuff's swept away, it's a lot easier to be cheerful, to be joyful, to be, you know, all the things we discussed earlier. So that means God sweeps away. Shiramaramoth is the most high heavens. So we are to be with him in heavenly places. Jahiel is God lives. God lives in us, and so if he lives in us, he can live in everybody. He does live in everybody, or they'd be not alive. So Matithia is gift of Jehovah. We talked about the best gift there is Jesus Christ. He was the gift from Jehovah. Elab is God, is Father, or God is Father. My God is Father, or God is Father. Can't get to the Son, Father, but by through the Son. So, Benaiah is Jehovah has built, Yahweh has built up. What he's building his temple now, right? With not stones from the ground, but living stones. And so he's building up his temple as we speak. And then Obed-Edom is servant. It's a servant. It's actually he's servant of Edom, which is Esau. And Obed-Edom is the individual that they once, Uzziah touched the thing on the ark on the cart, and when God killed him, it went back to Obed-Edom's house to stay there until this time that we're talking about right now, when they carried the ark, doing it the way that the Lord wanted it done, carrying the ark into the city and into the tent of meeting. Okay, so let's go to this. This is what I wanted to get to today, and that is 1 Chronicles 23 or 20.
Do you have any to hand 16? Back out?
What's that?
Have you handed out all you
yeah.
have?
Yeah. Okay. Do you?
I've got one.
We're good.
I can look it there. We're good.
Here, let me put it up here. I know that it won't be as easily.
Well, that's okay. As long as everybody has one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Anybody know how to make it bigger?
Right there.
Do this?
Huh?
No.
Can't do that on there.
Did you want to maximize
the
thing? It says maximize.
Where's
maximize,
it?
Maximize?
Where's
right
that?
In the middle.
It's not
works
on mine.
Right in the middle, to the far right, where you're Xing out.
Oh, okay.
Maximize.
Full screen.
Nope. Right in the middle.
Right there.
Yeah,
Yeah. Is that bigger?
Yeah.
Oh, it is
yeah.
bigger. Wow.
So this is what I'll do here is...
You can highlight it and make the font bigger.
We're good.
Highlight the whole thing and make
Debbie, you're the only one that doesn't have one, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. What I found interesting is that 1 Chronicles 16 and Psalms 96, there's a lot of similarities here. And there are some differences. But what this tells me is how to show forth his salvation day to day. We talked a little bit about that. So what I did is I highlighted all the action words, all the things that we are responsible to do, that the Lord is asking us to do, I highlighted it. So if we could just kind of, you know, read this, you want to start and read the first one, Lisa, and we'll just kind of talk about it as we go. You guys are doing the teaching, so.
Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation.
Okay, so what are the action words in there? What are we supposed to do? What is our responsibility in that verse?
Sing and show forth.
Sing, bless, and show forth, correct?
No, bless. You're over in 96.
We're in 90.
Is she supposed to be reading first
Chronicles? Yeah, see, I wanted you to see the difference. There are some differences, but some of it's almost word for word. So in 1 Chronicles 16, it says, sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. It did not say in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, show bless his name. If anybody gets any insight on any of this, please share. But, you know, I personally, by reading Psalms 96 versus 1 Chronicles 16, I like Psalms 96 better. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's more meat to it. And so, but what this is, it's a Psalm of David that he, once the ark was placed in its place, there's even more that he actually said. Yeah, let me just read this real quick here. It says, on that day that David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brothers, the hand of the gatherer, okay? Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And it goes on down till finally you get to verse 23. So it's just interesting how whomever decided that this is Psalms 96, that they just took this section out of it. Because it's all good. Every bit of it's good. But for some reason, they decided to just take this part out of 1 Chronicles 16. So anyway,
the day to day, I looked it up in the Strong's, and it means to be hot.
Whoa!
Like the sun in the day, and not lukewarm. I'm assuming.
That's good. Okay, so from day he says, don't be. I'd rather you be hot or cold, right? Mm-hmm. At least if you're cold, something can heat you up. But if you're lukewarm, you're just trying to be a poser. Okay, so first verse, we're in Psalms 96, it's sing, bless, and show forth his salvation day to day. Okay, verse 3 on Psalms 96. Brenda, you want to read that?
Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people.
Yeah, in King James 1 Chronicles, it's wonders is marvelous works.
Yeah, that's what it says over in 24.
In what?
In 24 in 1 Chronicles.
Yeah. So what do you think about that, Brendan? Declare his glory? Declare. So we have to declare some things. And Jim said glory on salvation, so declare his glory. How do we declare his glory?
By letting him off.
Take on his nature.
Yeah, act like him. Mm-hmm. Walk it out.
Actually, to take on his nature.
Yeah.
But there's, yeah.
The definition, I'm sorry,
to
for declare in the Strong's is to enumerate. So list all the ways that, you know, he's marvelous and glorious.
And we can, say, we can do that from experiences that we've had with him.
Yeah.
We trusted him and then have seen who we can declare from experience.
That's good, Brenda. Because that's what the Lord's really been laying on my heart. I don't think God's people realize he wants them to experience him daily. And what's going on in the church is they're not experiencing him. They just got a lot of religion in their head, and they're coming in and they're praising a God that they really don't know. But they know how to praise because they've learned in a religious temple. You're supposed to lift your hand, you're supposed to, you know. But to actually experience God and come to know him, experientially know him, then you can really praise from your heart instead of your lips. Yeah.
People look at you like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you go to church. Like, how do you not understand? And I always think...
Well, that's probably why they don't understand.
I think, you know, sometimes this... I mean, just even this sometimes a little over my head, you know? But just think of it as simplicity, you know? God wants you where you are. And obviously, that's why he's here to mature you.
Come as a child.
And this one girl, this is just so funny, and the girl's like looking at me, and I'm like, and I was trying to explain to her about the devotion, about how we're supposed to mature, and that the Lord's, you know, and we're supposed to mature our family. And he was talking about, he goes, you know, Christ wants you not to be of the religious people and say, oh, I have to work. Well, you have to accept him first, and then you can reap the rewards when you go to heaven, all the wonderful things. And she's Baptist, and so you can see her always opening her Bible, and I'm thinking, oh, I said, great, I'd like to share with you another Christian. And she's just looking at me like I've got, like, Cyclops or something. And I'm like, how do you not understand this? And it perplexed me because it's pretty simple.
But there's a point when none of us understood it either.
Right.
You either or any of us, and until God enlightened us and brought us,
we're all on the same path.
And sometimes you can't say anything. All they do is look at what you live and what you're doing.
That's
your walk.
And I think
desire that.
That's the true showing forth of his salvation day to day.
Has anybody read Preston Eby's paper? It just came in the mail the other day. It's all about come out of her, my people. And not only come out of the church system, but get it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the false doctrines and things that need to come out of us as well as us out of that church system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, just to show love. Just show love. Goodness gracious. Just,
and only he can do that.
You know, it's like people come to me all the time and they're like, how do you know that person? Because we have a lot of disabled special ed that the IRS hires, and you know, and they're all Christ, you know what, and everybody, and all of us, and they always come up to me, and they're like, hi Lisa, you know, and then another girl will like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know, but just be kind, just be kind to people, you know, gee, why is this so hard?
It's not.
And it's not, yeah, just, so anyway, sorry. Please, Jim.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
I want
to
know.
No, I just been thinking really recently, the last couple of weeks, about when you go into the Baptist church, you see a lot of Baptists. When you go into a Kingdom church, you see a lot of Kingdom people. And it was like the Lord was talking to me about, I want a real church cleanse me. Mm-hmm. You'll see me in that church. When you walk into a Baptist church, you see a bunch of Baptists. And you go into an Assembly of God church, you see a bunch of clone Assembly of God. When you go into a Kingdom church, you see a bunch of clone Kingdom people.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, I want to be cloned. That's my church. It's a spiritual church. It's the unseen, it's the mystical church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building my church on the inside, you know, by my spirit, not by any might of any man or any power or anything. And I don't know, it just hit me that all the churches, you know, I was a Baptist for many years because I was a Baptist. And I've been Kingdom now for many years because I'm a Kingdom brother. Okay? It's like the Lord is saying, you all need to come out of all that.
All of them.
I want to clone you in my image not in the image of the fellowship where you're at. And this is what's brought about all the division in the earth today. I'm a Baptist, you're a kingdom, you're Pentecostal. We separate each other. But if we were just all cloning him, then we could all come together in his image and his likeness and talk about him instead of what we believe, where I'm at, where you're at. You know? So it's, the Lord's out to clone people in his image today. But the only way he's going to be able to do that is if we come out of pride. Out of all that religious thinking, that every one of us, really,
every bit of it,
every one of us have picked up.
Well, I mean, you ask anybody, oh, you love the Lord? Oh, that's I'm a Methodist or I'm a Catholic or it's like there was a TV program, and they went around the room and they said, tell me about your religion. Well, nobody said anything about Jesus. It was all what denomination they were, Presbyterian, Catholic, Sikh, whatever. They were all different, you know, religions. And it's like, we got to come out of all that. And we got to let all that religion go because it's worthless. It has no value whatsoever. It's that relationship with the Lord, and then we can walk out his salvation every day. Yeah, so.
That's what Moses knew. You know, the children, they knew his acts.
Yeah.
That he knew his ways.
Yeah.
You know the way you know his ways, because you know him.
He saw the glory, too, in a way that no one up to that point had seen it, except for maybe Adam.
And that's what he's doing in us.
Yeah. Okay, buddy, next.
What's
Psalms are from?
4. Psalms 96, 4.
96? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
Okay, those two words, praised and feared. Mm-hmm. He inhabits the praises of his people. So, gosh, why don't we praise all the time? You know.
Because what we're looking at is seeing. When we're up here.
Feared above all gods. How many gods do you think there are out there?
Lots.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
But he's reverenced that. It's not, I'm afraid he's going to strike me that now, which is what a lot of people still think. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think, if I mess up, God's going to strike me. Mm-hmm. And that's sad.
Because if you mess up, God's going to strike you.
Right. Oh, that's even more. Yeah, exactly. And it's so sad because he knows how he made us. It's not a mystery or anything that we're going to fall and mess up. But, you know, it's like if you listen to some of these preachers, they'll say, you know, you need to quit sinning. Well, good luck with that without God's help. Good luck with that. So, okay, Jim, you want to read the next one? Kind of.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
So you got honor and majesty. We are to honor him, and the strength and the beauty are in his sanctuary. So if we honor him and his majesty, then we get, we realize the strength and the beauty that are in his sanctuary. And it's him. He is the sanctuary.
How you've got this. It's like, you've got it right next to each other.
Yeah.
So honor and majesty. Well, honor is glory.
Mm-hmm.
Are in his as long as we're in his presence. And before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Well, that's us.
We're his sanctuary.
Absolutely.
In honor and his presence.
Yeah, know ye not that ye are the temple of God.
Like in the Amplified, it says, honor and majesty are found in his presence, strength and joy. Found in his sanctuary. Yeah.
Okay, Deb?
My 8?
7.
Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Okay, it says give glory and strength. It says give unto the Lord. What else do we give to the Lord? What are we supposed to give to the Lord?
First and foremost, us.
Huh?
Us.
Yeah, that's good. That's for sure, right?
First and foremost.
Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Boy, he said that a couple times. Strength and beauty, glory and strength. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength is over in First Chronicles. Okay, Kathy, if anybody has any comments, jump out because we got very little time left. I wanted to get through this if we can. If not, then someone can do whatever next week.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. And as I was looking at that, I thought, well, I kind of like First Chronicles best.
Mm-hmm.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Bring an offering. Well, what's the offering? The only offering we can bring to the Lord is ourselves. Mm-hmm. Daily. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, Mike.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
With righteousness.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, isn't that good? And that word righteousness, we've broken that word down.
Equity.
Many times, yeah.
Means equally, right?
Equally.
And how does he judge the nations equally? He forgives them all.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every one.
And he comforts those who mourn.
Can I say something on 29?
Yep.
It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering. And I feel like what the Lord is saying there is, when you come before me, bring an offering, and the offering is not necessarily anything you have to give me, because frankly there's nothing in you that I want. Okay. You know, like you said, I gave my life to the Lord. Well, he'll give it back to you, okay? Because he doesn't really want your life, okay? He come to give you that you might have your life. But when God says bring an offering, I believe what the Lord is saying there is when you come before him, that the offering you bring is Calvary. You bring Jesus' offering that he made on the cross for you. And that glorifies God. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a condition of the heart. When we understand that the offering that God is looking for, he wants to understand, he wants to know that we know and understand the finished work of Calvary. And when I come before the Lord, I don't come before the Lord in anything that I've done, any of my righteousness, any of my goodness, any of my holiness, which I think we all agree. But I come before the Lord bringing an offering, and that offering is his son that was on that cross. And that is what glorifies God, is to bring the Lamb of God to him. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the definition, Jim. It says specifically a sacrificial offering.
Yeah.
In the Strong.
Yeah. And I think once we get a hold of what Calvary accomplished, it's so critical today to hear more instruction on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because once we really grab hold of the revelation of what was accomplished on Calvary for us, it brings such a tremendous peace.
Sounds like a sermon, Jim.
It eliminates all condemnation. I mean, it's just, that's the place you want to be in, is to understand. You know, because the Bible says we are complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we constantly try and have the Lord complete me? Why do I constantly ask the Lord to process me when I am complete in him? And as I look to Calvary, as I see the face of Jesus, and as I know the love of God, not a love for God, but the love of God for me, okay, that totally eliminates all fear. His love is perfect, and perfect love casts out fear. Love does not cast it out. Your love will not cast out the fear in you. But when we come to understand and know the love of God, that perfect, unconditional love he has for me,
it cast out all fear in me. I have no fear in that sense of the Lord. I fear the Lord because as we draw close to God, you start understanding His might, His power, and His strength, and it's awesome, okay? And in that sense, like Rich said, we reverentially fear the Lord. But when we come to know the love of God, and Paul said, for the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts. The love of God, not the love for God, but the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts. And when we get the revelation, and that's what we're talking about here, we're talking about getting revelation. The love of God, and as soon as you get that, you can then walk in tremendous peace. You can do away with all condemnation and just walk in joy and peace. And what is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness. You know you're in right standing with God because of Calvary. You know that when you get that revelation of the finished work. And peace and joy. That's what you walk in.
In the Holy Ghost.
That's right. In the Holy Spirit. That's right. And that's a son of God walks in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good.
God has been dealing with me in the last few days. Before that, it was about come up here, come on up here, come up here a little higher, and I'll show you from my perspective. And the last couple of days, he keeps talking to me about we are an enchristed people. And I don't even understand what that means yet. Enchristed. And I don't even know what that means yet. But every time we talk about Christ, he says, you're in Christ. And, I don't know, more will be revealed.
That's right. Christ in you, you in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, we're running out of time, so what I'm going to do here is just kind of hit the words here. Like, the Lord reigneth. So that word, he's reigning, okay? Mm-hmm. He's reigning in us. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. You notice that's not in 1 Chronicles 16. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about Psalms 96 verses 1 Chronicles 16. Because it repeats it down here in verse 13. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. We're supposed to be a glad people. Mm-hmm. Let's be glad. Let's not look at all our problems and whatever. I mean, Julie sent me that one thing with Jesus carrying all this baggage. And it's like, he'll take it all from you. You don't have to carry any. Can you imagine going to the airport and you have three or four bags and you're trying to get to the next, you got to get on a tram and go to the next B instead of you're on A. And you got, you know, he's carrying it all, man. Why do we choose to carry it? Mm-hmm. That's a choice.
You just carry it lightly.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, let the field be joyful. Fullness of joy, right? Mm-hmm. What in his presence? Fullness of joy. So guess what? Let's stay in his presence.
We should be happy.
Let's not leave. We should be there, man. I mean, when we're not joyful, we've left his presence. So let's not leave his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. You don't want half, you know, you don't want your tank half filled. You want your tank all the way to F. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So stay in his presence.
We were singing, joy of the Lord is our strength.
We were singing two songs last Sunday. As I come into your presence, and another one about in the presence, I don't remember
what. In the presence of Jehovah.
Yes. And the Lord reminded me that, hey, it's impossible to come into my presence. You can come into the awareness of my presence. My presence.
It's there all the
time.
It's
there. And it is impossible to go out of my presence if you dwell.
Right.
If you make your bed in hell, I'm there with you.
Right.
My presence is with you always. It's your awareness of it.
It's the awareness. That's very good.
And that's called walking in the now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Day by day. Let the field be joyful. I like this. It says that all that is therein. Then, I like that word, then, shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. There's just a few of the trees rejoicing right now. We want all the trees to rejoice. Okay, last verse. Before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. They look over here and they skip a bunch of that over in 1 Chronicles. It says, then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he hath cometh to judge the earth. Doesn't say judge righteously. No. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. That in this is still David wrote this psalm. The Lord wrote it, of course, mm-hmm. We know that. But I'm just saying it's interesting that they added in Psalms 96 that he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with whose truth?
His truth.
His truth.
Who's his truth? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that word truth, if you break it down into its root, that word truth means to stand firm, to trust, to be certain, to believe in. And the focus is on trust. It really is. His truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So you got to believe that. That the way, the truth, and the life is a person, not, a way of life. Because if he is, if he's the way and the truth and the life in here, guess what? There's going to be total trust in him. To support, to confirm, be faithful. Another root is faithfulness, trusting. And then the original word is firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, and steadiness. I mean, don't you want steadfastness in your life? I mean, something that's unmovable. I mean, something. And he is that truth. He is the truth. And so we can sit there and be confident in what he's going to do. And he's going to judge the world righteously. And guess what? We are going to judge the world righteously. I mean, yeah.
You know, when I think, when you said fidelity, I was just thinking of years ago when you would buy a hi-fi, it would say high fidelity.
Oh, yeah,
which
that's
meant,
right.
Which meant that you could hear all the little nuances of the music,
that's
you know.
Right.
And boy, when the fidelity of Christ is in us, we are able to hear all of the love, joy, harmonious things. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I like that definition.
Yeah,
it's great.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, well, we went over time here, so let's see. Pastor, you want to pray?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together today in your name, and for your sweet Holy Spirit to teach us. And we just ask you, Lord, to just help us to walk in that trust and in that faith and in that joy, and just have that song in our hearts as we go forth. Because creation out there, they don't know what to think about people that they see going around happy and singing and rejoicing in the Lord. And that's part of even the fruits of the Spirit, and that will just bring, draw people in.
Yes.
And I just ask you to just bless your people and just let us all go forth and be an expression of that love and that joy that you keep putting in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.